I had the wonderful pleasure of visiting for the first time my ancestral home grounds in Ireland this last month, and went through Scotland and Ireland and Wales, places that are typically dreary and filled with clouds and fog. They were all dry as a desert, drying up, blowing away, and I encountered in a large number of informal contacts with people genuine, deep hostility to the United States for the role that we are playing with regard to scuttling the Kyoto Protocols. And they just feel betrayed that at a time when the rest of the world is trying to seriously address these issues, the United States seems so blithely indifferent to something in which it is having by far the greatest impact in the world.
What do you anticipate global warming, climate change as it's more properly known, will mean here in the Pacific Northwest?
The midpoint projections now suggest that we will have significantly less snowpack, the disappearance of a great many of the glaciers on our major mountains, big disputes over water in a great many places because water precipitation will become far more seasonal. Instead of having the snow slowly melting in the summer, we will have huge spring rains and parched summers and autumns. That the decline in the forests could be 20, 25, 30% over the next couple of decades. These are stunning kinds of implications for a region that has historically depended upon agriculture, upon a forest products industry, and upon hydroelectricity from rivers.
Now, many of the skeptics that we, of course, hear from in the media say the weather is always changing, it's always swinging. There have been all sorts of changes over the course of time. Right now there's snow falling in South Africa and they're having unusual cold in the Andes, and they say, well, that's proof we're not warming up. What do you say to people like that?
Well, one of the problems with this issue is that it's often characterized as global warming, which makes everybody think that the entire planet is going to start to look like the Big Island in Hawaii. What we're really talking about is that the amount of energy coming in from the sun and that's being captured by the Earth's atmosphere is going to be more in the future because of these greenhouse gases capturing it than it is at present. That will have all kinds of myriad changes. The energy we get from the sun causes the evaporation of the oceans, and some of that results in different kinds of precipitation. It is what causes wind, and in exaggerated forms, it's what causes hurricanes and tornadoes. There are huge implications of this thermal battery having more energy in it, some of which will be that certain parts of the world are going to be turning into parched deserts, and other parts of the world are going to be having more rainfall. On balance, the scientists that have looked at it most closely for the longest period of time think that it will have pretty dire consequences for things we value, like agricultural productivity.
I was at one conference where one of the speakers said, that's one of the things that traditionally has caused war. If we can't grow food, but somebody else can.
Well, a good many wars, although they often have a wide variety of rationalizations, and sometimes those rationalizations are very real and a contributing part of it, but it's not at all uncommon to have war over resources, over a lack of food on one side of a border and ample food on the other side. One of the things that many people think are likely to be increasingly important in the future are wars over water. It's certainly one of the big triggers in the Middle East, and again, climate change with its implications for precipitation could have enormous implications for that.
One of the arguments that seems to have some traction for the critics of climate change, people who deny it's happening, is that doing anything to reduce CO2 emissions would be so harmful to the economy that it would devastate the United States.
Well, we have a petition signed by 2,000 leading economists, including a very strong majority of every American who has won a Nobel Prize in economics, saying that acting intelligently to combat climate change would be a boon to the economy. It'll result in us importing less oil, investing more domestically, engaged in a series of enterprises that have more jobs per unit of expenditure. And, you know, economists, you can always get somebody to say something about this stuff. But when you've got most of the Nobel Prize winners and 2,000 professors lining up with a very strong statement, I take some high degree of reassurance from that, particularly since it's coupled with common sense. You know, I drive my Prius and get anywhere from 45 to 55 miles per gallon, and I don't feel like I'm making a sacrifice. And the thing cost me less than $20,000. I'm not spending a huge amount of money for this vehicle. And you can take that same kind of approach to thing after thing. We have enormous opportunities to save energy and to rely upon renewable energy sources in ways that will be beneficial to the economy.
We have a current administration in Washington, D.C. that doesn't seem to embrace the view that, that you're describing of what's needed and what's causing global warming, climate change. Can changes happen if they're not led by the government?
Leadership generally doesn't come from the people whom we've designated as leaders, and that means that change will be slow, but it's in a sense been one of the strengths of America that although our change is slow, it comes from the grassroots up. It's generally pretty intelligent. I have a lot more faith in democratic impulses, which if you poll people, as we've been doing forever, they all want solar energy, they all want wind power, they all want decentralized generation, they want more intelligence in their power systems. So what will happen here is that the president will, whoever the president happens to be after the next election, do what the public demands that he do.
Are you optimistic or pessimistic that the United States will change the course it's taking, the attitude that it has toward climate change?
Well, of course the United States will change its attitude. The only question is when it will happen. Sooner or later, it has to, because the consequences of building up greater and greater and greater levels of greenhouse gases are just simply too dire. It would be desirable for it to happen at a point where we could be a global leader on this, perhaps the global leader in it, where our industries would be able to capture the markets for sophisticated solar and wind technologies, sophisticated control technologies and fuel cells and the elements of the hydrogen economy, where we could take advantage of some of the carbon trading schemes that have been suggested by the United Nations, where we currently are not even part of a whole system that's being designed by the entire rest of the world. Currently, all of that stuff is acting to our short-term and long-term disadvantage. I'm confident that sooner or later we too will be climbing aboard, and I pray that whoever the president is after the next election, they'll recognize this opportunity and convince Congress to change its mind, ratify the Kyoto Protocols, which incidentally are just the smallest little baby step towards solving the problem, and then start moving us aggressively into a leadership role.